Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online right now, so if there's an issue you'd like to discuss, a Bible question we can answer, we invite your call now. Toll-free number 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, how is your Christian life really supposed to work? I know we've been on radio for quite some time, and we field questions on all types of issues, all types of concerns. And one of the things that's underneath all of those questions is this uncertainty about how we are supposed to live the Christian life. I think that's where folks really get confused. I know Christ has saved me by grace through faith, but now what is my responsibility? What am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to act and behave on a day-to-day basis? So what we're really asking is this: how is the Christian life really supposed to work? Well, the New Testament answers that in very clear terms. We are used to living by rules and regulations and human teachings and traditions. God has changed the entire paradigm for us. He's moved us into the realm of faith. This Christian life is by grace through faith. So we see things in the New Testament, for example, in Romans chapter 10, where Jesus says, or Paul writes this, Christ is the end of the law. It's a pretty bold statement, isn't it? Christ is the end of the law so that there might be righteousness for everyone who believes. Righteousness doesn't come through obedience to the law. Righteousness comes through faith in Jesus Christ. Abraham proved that even before Jesus showed up. You know, God told him the promise about the coming Messiah. Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him is righteousness. So we see that pattern early on in the Bible. Also in the book of Galatians, Paul wrote this, before this faith came, we were held prisoners by the law, locked up until faith should be revealed. So the law was put in charge to lead us to Christ that we might be justified by faith. So the law had a purpose, and that was to show us our sinfulness, to lead us to Christ. And in Christ, we would be justified by faith. And he goes on to write this, now that faith has come, we are no longer under the supervision of the law. Another bold statement by Paul. Christ is the end of the law. We are no longer under the supervision of the law. It can't get much clearer than that. We are not to live through rules and regulations. And then Paul really admonishes the Colossians in his letter. It says, since you died with Christ to the basic principles of this world, why, as though you still belong to it, do you submit to its rules? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. That's where most Christians live their lives, in the do nots of this world. But that's not where we're supposed to live. We're supposed to live by grace, through faith in Jesus. And here's what he says about those do-nots. These are all destined to perish with use because they are based on human commands and teachings. Such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom. It looks wise to do those things, to have those things in place. It looks that way. But here's the deal. They have an appearance of wisdom with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. That's what we struggle with. All of those lusts that are out there in the world, and we're hoping the do not taste, the do not touch, the do not handles will keep us from those very things. But as wise as those look, they hold no value in restraining sensual indulgence. That's why we have to die to the law so that we can live for God by grace through faith in Jesus.
Absolutely. This is Basic Gospel, everybody. Open lines 844-322-2742. We'd like you to be a part of this conversation. Give us a call if you'd like to talk about this topic or introduce a new one or pose a Bible question. That's why we're here live every day, so you can do that and get an immediate answer. Again, 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. So that's point number six in the eight key truths that every Christian needs to know is, how then should we live? How is the Christian life really supposed to work? It doesn't work through these human commands and teachings. It doesn't work through rule following. It works by grace through faith. It's a law versus grace issue. The law had a purpose. That was to identify our need. Once the need has been identified, once the problem has been diagnosed, then we can turn to the one who has the solution, and that's Jesus. The law can't fix us. The law can't cure us. The law can't provide eternal life. It can only show us our need for those things. Jesus is the one that can fix us. Jesus is the one that can save us. Jesus is the one that can empower us to live as children in this world of darkness.
He can do it all.
That's exactly right.
He did it.
Well, let's go and talk with Maria, listening to us in Oceanside, New York, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Maria.
Hi. My question is, can somebody take the supper of Christ and live it on fornication?
Maria, interesting question, isn't it? You know, the Bible talks about taking the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. And that unworthy manner, as Paul spells out for us, is not recognizing the blood and the body of Christ. So, for example, in the Corinthian church, they were dividing the body between the haves and the have-nots. So the rich in Corinth were really treating those who were not rich as second-class citizens, as subpar human beings. And in doing so, they weren't recognizing the fact that Christ had died for all. And so they were taking the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. They were also getting drunk at the Lord's Supper, all of those things. But Maria, if the Lord's Supper is presented correctly, then to those who may be trapped in sin, those who are struggling to break free out of a certain sin, I think the Lord's Supper can be an incredible encouragement to take a fresh look at the cross of Jesus Christ, and to see that he who knew no sin became sin on our behalf so that we could become the righteousness of God in him. So it could be a powerful tool to really show someone the completeness of Christ's work on the cross. And the fact that in this new covenant, and when Jesus took the cup, he said, "This is the blood of the new covenant." And that's what he ushered in. Through his death on the cross, he ushered in this new covenant. And in this new covenant, the sacrifice for sin has been made. And in this new covenant, sins have been forgiven. And in this new covenant, God chooses to remember our sins no more. That's what we celebrate, the fact that God chooses to remember our sins no more. That's why it's the most joyful occasion I think a Christian can participate in or can enjoy as a believer. But I think somebody trapped in a sin, if that Lord's Supper is presented correctly, could be the very thing that pierces through, touches up his heart in a way that will bring him to repentance and to new life in Christ.
All right, so, but then the answer is no, correct?
No, the answer is someone who takes the Lord's Supper and has been taught properly begins to see how far from their identity as children of God they are living. And it's a call back to the righteousness of Christ, the righteousness that is available only in Christ. So rather than than, you know, taking out a piece of paper and asking everybody to confess their worst sin to find out who's naughty and who's nice. If that was the case, none of us should take the Lord's Supper. Absolutely none of us. Now, we're assuming that this person hasn't come to some sort of conclusion about Jesus Christ. If they have come to a conclusion about Jesus Christ and they're performing like Paul wrote to the Corinthians about this blatant sexual sin, well, that's a different issue. Okay, and in that case, the leadership of the church should come alongside those people and say, look, for the safety of the church and for the discipline of the body, you can't do this. But that's a church discipline issue, not a how is my heart issue. And so in both cases, it's not judgment against the person who is living in sin. It's an attempt to draw them to Christ, to get them to recognize where they're falling short and to accept his grace and the power of the indwelling spirit to get past the sin and into the proper kind of relationship, both with Jesus and with the rest of the body of Christ.
Oh, okay, because she was never instructed, and she didn't know. And then I told her that if she's not, you know, legally married, that's what I advise her, that she shouldn't, that she should first fix her relationship and then take the new wine, you know?
Well, Maria, I think you're probably talking to her on a very appropriate level.
Yes.
There, because it is about new life in Christ. And what you want for your friend is for her to be born again of the Spirit and to come to know Jesus Christ personally. That's the key there. And those who are born again, we really can be joyful at the Lord's Supper because,
yes,
of what Christ has accomplished. So I think you're doing a great job in communicating, mm-hmm, the truth of the gospel, and keep doing that.
Okay. And with the thank you. And with the supper, another question. A person who is not baptized yet, they can still take the supper, right?
Certainly. Certainly, okay. Somebody can do that. Yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay. Hey, thanks, Maria. You hold on. I've got a CD called Drive the Stake. It's an explanation of the gospel. I would love to put that into your hands. You can give it to your friend and have her listen to it. It may be just exactly what she needs, okay?
Okay.
You hang on. We'll send that to you.
Plenty of open lines right now, 844-322-2742. We'd love to address your question or your particular issue on this edition of Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, my name is Bob Davis. We're glad that you've joined us. Again, that toll-free number is 844-322-2742. Go to the U.S. and in Canada.
Well, thanks, Bob. A couple of announcements before we move on to our next caller, Mike in Boulder, Colorado. We have some events coming up not this Sunday, but next Sunday, October 4th, the Basic Gospel Day at Park Meadows Church in Waxahachie, Texas. That's right. In New York City, October 24th, we have the Simply Grace Tour. It is a Saturday morning event that we are sponsoring at the King's College, right on Broadway, down in the Financial District. And then in the Washington, D.C. area on November 7th, we have another stop on the Simply Grace Tour. Four messages, all kind of out of the book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, but messages that can really encourage your heart and soul as far as your walk of faith in Jesus Christ. It's something that I think every person should take part in to get those basics right, to really get that foundation settled, knowing that your sins have been forgiven, knowing that you have new life in Christ, knowing that you're a child of God, and knowing that God's Spirit has come to live inside of you so that you could experience this life to the full.
Yeah.
That's what everybody needs to know. And we're going to be talking about it on these particular days. All of this information is on our website at basicgospel.net. Go there, click the events tab, and register, sign up, come and be a part of these wonderful opportunities to grow in the grace of God.
Yes, indeed. We look forward to meeting a lot of our friends.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to Boulder, Colorado and talk to Mike. Hi, Mike.
Hi, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call.
Certainly.
I had prepared your screener for the fact that I had a contrary opinion to offer on the law, and so I imagine she prepared you for that.
Well, we have a little note on the screen that says something about that.
It says you're a troublemaker and all. I'm just kidding.
I don't want to cause trouble, and I can see the genuineness in your men's hearts that we all want. We all want the words of the Father to be living in each and every one of us. My contrary point of view is that when Scripture speaks of the lawless, the lawless, and how we're to expect in the latter days how lawlessness will increase, it's actually referring to the perspective that, for some reason or somehow, the law no longer pertains to us, and I'm referring to the Old Testament. So it's really dangerous ground to be talking about the lawless one and how the days of lawlessness are approaching and how lawlessness is increasing. It's very dangerous to somehow think you can separate that from the fact that we are a growing culture getting further and further and further from seeing the application of the law, because we are becoming that lawless culture.
Yeah, the culture certainly is becoming lawless. Yeah. We're equating freedom with just simply a freedom of choice. I can do whatever I want to and be okay with that. That's certainly not the freedom that's talked about in the Word of God. We've been given the freedom to walk by faith in Jesus Christ, the freedom to allow that faith to be expressed in love to others, the freedom to anchor our souls to the hope of Christ's imminent return. Those are the freedoms that we have as believers in Christ. And so when we say Christ is the end of the law, the law, those Ten Commandments, had punishment attached to it. You violated those laws, there was punishment. And so all of us have violated those laws, so Christ has stepped into our shoes, has stepped into our place, and taken that punishment for us. So now that law has been fulfilled, and as Paul writes in Romans 8, we've been set free from the law of sin and death by the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. What the law could not do, Christ did in condemning sin once and for all, so that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us. So what we see, Mike, is that sin and death, that law of sin and death, has been fulfilled. It's been brought to its end. Now we as believers have died in Christ. We've been buried in Christ. We've been raised to walk in the newness of life. And that newness of life is built on the laws of faith, hope, and love. So when we say that we are not without law, we have higher laws that can only be lived out through faith in Jesus.
Your talking points are consistent throughout my 52 years. Your talking points are nothing new to the ears of my father, but they're not accurate.
Well, that's according to you.
The law of sin and death is overcome by the law of life when we allow the words of the Father to resonate and cultivate within us.
Where do you find that in the Scripture? Where do you find that in the Scripture, Mike?
Jesus Christ is the law. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Jesus Christ is higher than the law. Jesus Christ is love. He's not the law. He's not those. He's not those commandments written on stone. Come on, Mike. You know better than that. Don't bring Christ down to that level. Christ is higher. He existed before any of it. He's the one that holds it together. It's in Christ that we have life.
I'm just trying to offer truth to the listeners.
Yeah. Well, I think you're offering confusion to the listeners. I've been 57 years and I've heard your stuff, and boy, that doesn't resonate with me. It doesn't touch my heart. It doesn't prick my heart to want to, to embrace that. Why? Because it takes me away from Christ. It takes me away from Jesus. I want Jesus, dadgummit. That's who I need, and that's who you need, and let's quit arguing about it. Let's lift up the Lord, period, end of story. In Him is life. I'm sorry, I got a little feisty there. But my goodness, the world is built on law. The world is built on rules and regulations. That's the way of the world. And look at the world. Is there anything good out there? Is there anything good that's happening?
Nothing.
We've got a legislature that is feeding money to Planned Parenthood, killing babies. We've got all kinds of things that are happening. That's where law is going to take us, away from life, deeper into sin and death. If we want true life, if we want genuine life, if we want something that is going to transcend what we're seeing today, it only happens through faith in Jesus, through the power of His resurrected life, invading our very hearts and souls, bringing life to our dead spirits, enabling us to walk in faith, to express that faith and love to others. And there is no law against that.
None
whatsoever. That's what this gospel message is all about. And my goodness, why don't we have the guts to talk about Jesus? We can talk about law all we want to. It takes guts to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ, to confess with your mouth that He is Lord, to believe in your heart that He was raised from the dead, and to experience that resurrection life here and now.
Absolutely. You kind of scared me.
Scared myself, I think. Oh, my goodness. Well, let's go to New York and talk with Deborah. Hi, Deborah.
Hi, how are you?
We're doing okay. How are you?
Wow, I'm like taking deep breaths here. I mean, you were so right. You were so right, everything you said. The young man offering confusion. Man-made system offers confusion. You want clarity. You want order. It's Jesus.
You got it, Deborah.
As I told the lady who interviewed me on the telephone, I love speaking about the work that the Lord has done through me. I was a drug addict, prostitution, theft, name it, all of it. I went through it from A to Z. And I compare that to the cross. That's my cross that I have to bear on my back. But because today of my faith in Jesus and in God, I can speak about it freely. Keeping it real keeps me alert. There is a power of goodness that is being supplied when you believe.
And His name is Jesus.
Day, yes, I get up, I try and do a good deed, I smile, I say hello, and you're correct. People are like on a different level. There is so much misery, there is so much anger, there is so much...
Well, Deborah, let me jump in. We're almost out of time, but thank you so much for your call and your wonderful testimony.
Yes, yeah.
Let me put you on hold. We'll send you a copy of my book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. You hang on.
Yeah, we are out of time, but a quick reminder that we are here only because you are, only because you support us with your gifts, with your prayers, And we appreciate so much hearing from each one of you. And for each one of you who can make a gift this month, a copy of Bob's CD series, The Power of Eight, will be yours. Well, for Bob and Richard and the ministry team, Bob Davis saying God bless you and join us again tomorrow. See you then. Bye-bye.